I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
On this very floor in January, the whole world witnessed a historic contest for House Speaker. I rise today to serve notice. Mr. Speaker, you are out of compliance with the agreement that allowed you to assume this role. The path forward for the House of Representatives is to either bring you into immediate total compliance or remove you pursuant to a motion to vacate the chair.
Those are powerful words, and of course the leftist media quickly picking up on it. The references were to Kevin McCarthy, the House Speaker. The attacker from the floor was a fellow Republican, Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida. And he's saying, you're not doing the job you said you would do. I'll remind you in a moment in more detail as to how difficult it was for McCarthy to ever assume the leadership. And then, of course, many inside the party, Republican Party, have been at least not happy, would be the least way to say it, with how he's proceeded with some things, everything from budget to everything else. In particular, going after Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and uncovering all the web of deceit and cover-up and protection that's been used repeatedly of weaponization of government against political enemies of Joe Biden. We're going to break a lot of it down for you because there's a lot to go through over the next 2 hours. This is, of course, September 13th, 2022. This is the first hour of two of Larry Connors USA. We will be airing right back to back, so you don't have to go anywhere to catch the second hour. If by chance you miss it, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull it up as a podcast, either audio or video, because we are streaming while the program is on the air at NewsTalk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. So we got a lot of ways to reach you. So let's go back to, again, the issue when Matt Gaetz was saying about basically you were barely able to become speaker and only because we basically said that we will take you at your word that you're going to actually do what you say you're going to. Let me remind you, do you remember how contentious it was to make him speaker? It took 15 ballots for him to be elected. McCarthy then became the 55th Speaker of the House. It was a historic four-day, 15-ballot stalemate. 20 hardline conservative members, the Freedom Caucus, and Gaetz among them, were not so keen on him becoming Speaker of the House. It got to the point where it was apparent, it was possible that the Republican-controlled House was going to end up with a Democrat serving as Speaker of the House, Hakeem Jeffries. On the 15th ballot, McCarthy got 216 votes. He needed 215. He got the one he needed. House Minority Leader Jeffries got 212. That's how close it was. McCarthy securing the speakership after that dramatic scene, and now you got Matt Gaetz, Republican of Florida, who actually did cast the deciding vote to put McCarthy one vote ahead and give him the gavel, now is calling him out from the House floor. Now, just yesterday, McCarthy made a move to call for an impeachment inquiry, and many have been saying he did it only because the pressure from the conservatives inside the Republican Party. I know some are going to say MAGA, but basically pressure from conservatives inside the party saying, you're not doing enough, get moving or else.
Today, I am directing our House committee to open a formal impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. This logical next step will give our committees the full power to gather all the facts and answers for the American public. That's exactly what we want to know, the answers. I believe the president would want to answer these questions and allegations as well. This effort will be led by Chairman James Comer at the Committee on Oversight, in coordination with Chairman Jim Jordan for Judiciary Committee, and Chairman Jason Smith on Ways and Means. Now, I do not make this decision lightly. And regardless of your party or who you voted for, these facts should concern all Americans.
I think we do agree with that. Of course, on the left, they're going to say there's nothing to see here anyway, so I'm not concerned about it. But McCarthy finally said, let's move forward with an impeachment inquiry. Others wanted to rush right into impeachment. I'm really of the opinion, let's do the inquiry first, and it will be followed by the impeachment. Let's get everything laid out. But, of course, you're going to hear many say, and they already are, that's stalling still, and that nothing's really going to be carried out. Well, I'm not going to allow for that to happen. I want to see it taken place, but already Matt Gaetz, again on the House floor, is calling out McCarthy for the announcement you just heard.
On this very floor in January, the whole world witnessed a historic contest for House Speaker. I rise today to serve notice. Mr. Speaker, you are out of compliance with the agreement that allowed you to assume this role. The path forward for the House of Representatives is to either bring you into immediate total compliance or remove you pursuant to a motion to vacate the chair.
Again, that's a very powerful statement. As you heard in the beginning, as Gaetz said, this is where we stand with you. And those kinds of words, that we will remove you from the chair, that's powerful. It's threatening. And among those watching, of course, were the Democrats, and they're joyful with glee because look how they're beginning to come unraveled when their own speaker is challenged on the floor, in the sense that if you don't do what we want, you're not in compliance, and we will remove you. I'm telling you, the leftist media is eating this up. They are joyfully celebrating every word that comes out of Gaetz's mouth. He has been a pariah to them in many ways, but now they see him as maybe a weapon of war against MAGA, McCarthy, and all Republicans. At least that's their approach. I'll give you the opinion of Massachusetts Congresswoman, who is the House Minority Whip, Catherine Clark.
Kevin McCarthy has lost control of the gavel. With this announcement today, he has proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Republican conference is controlled by conspiracy theorists, devoid of reasonable voices that are coming here to govern and solve problems. Donald Trump is the ultimate puppet master. Marjorie Taylor Greene is calling the shots. They ignored their constituents, and they have purged their ranks of anyone who could call themselves a moderate. If there were moderates left, where are they? Why haven't they demanded a vote? Why haven't they come out and called this a distraction, a gross political stunt? Why? Because MAGA extremists are running the House.
They do love to use that word MAGA and throw it around in ways that it was never intended to be, other than make America great again. They have basically redefined the definition of that as they have with the recession and anything else they choose to. They are writing in a whole new dictionary as we sit here and listen to it. But you heard the Massachusetts Congresswoman, the House Minority Whip, Catherine Clark, say that's all they're doing is following Donald Trump. And that also being echoed by Hakeem Jeffries of New York.
Launching this illegitimate impeachment inquiry is certainly a distraction. Instead of focusing on doing the business of the American people, extreme MAGA Republicans are doing the bidding of their puppet master in chief, Donald Trump. When Donald Trump says jump, the extreme MAGA Republicans say how high. Leading the charge in this House Republican conference right now are extremists like Marjorie Taylor Greene and George Santos. They are driving the train right now and doing the bidding, of course, of Donald Trump. And it's unfortunate that we find ourselves in this situation.
It's unfortunate. You kind of created the situation, to be quite honest. Well, you've heard her called out twice now by the left, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Georgia Congresswoman. Her response.
We need to investigate this for as long as it takes to uncover every single unelected bureaucrat that has covered up Joe Biden's crimes. And we need a list of those names, because when we get President Trump back in the White House, we need to hold those very people in the deep state accountable for covering up the crimes of Joe Biden and propelling him to the highest seat of power in our country. We're just following precedents, and Nancy Pelosi is the one that set that precedence. So I think this should be a warning to Democrats and all Democrat leaders. You better be careful for every Pandora's box that you open, because we will use it too.
There is a point that was made repeatedly to Democrats as they were pushing the Trump indictments. You remember those. Both failed. You remember the evidence was even shared with Obama and then Vice President Biden. Steele dossier was a Hillary Clinton dirty trick campaign. And there was lying on FISA warrants. GOP warned the Democrats, if the power ever shifts, you're going to be on the losing end. But House Freedom Caucus member, Pennsylvania Congressman Perry denies anything here is revenge.
This isn't about political revenge. We have the bank accounts. We can see, ma'am, you can see that the homes that the Bidens own can't be afforded on a congressional or Senate salary. You also understand that it's not normal for family members to receive millions of dollars from overseas interests. Those things aren't normal. That's not normal to have 20 shell companies. These things are not normal, and it alludes to not only just widespread corruption, but money laundering, if not influence peddling itself. And we also have the president, the vice president at the time, on record saying that the prosecutor was fired. Well, son of a bitch. The prosecutor was fired, right? Because the prosecutor was going after the company that his son was working on. That's what we have. If you can't see that, if you're that blunt, look, I'll turn it over to you.
The American people can't see that. They think it's political revenge.
It's because you don't report on it.
His point is, the reporter is saying, well, people can't see, said they don't report on it. That is an excellent point. He turned it over to one of the attorneys representing the caucus, and we'll hear from him later before we finish today's program. But Sean Hannity last night was asking a question, and the way he asked it, the response, it provided comedic content for Morning Joe on MSNBC.
Nobody's got any evidence at all. Not at all. You've got some text messages. I'd love to know what the text messages mean. I'd love to get people under oath. I'd love to have them talking. That's what investigations are for. So investigate. That's what criminal proceedings are for. Let those criminal proceedings go forward. And if there are any crimes, you know what? Let the chips fall where they may. But again, I keep going back to the Wall Street Journal editorial page. No fan of Joe Biden, that's for sure. They attack him every day. But they even said of Comer, oh, you got to hear some smoke. You got nothing else.
We're going to come back to Morning Joe and his comments in a moment. He's talking about how the Wall Street Journal stated, and it's correct, you got smoke, nothing else. Has he looked at the New York Times article? I'm sure he has. He's ignoring it. Where the New York Times is reporting Hunter and Joe Biden frequently speaking on the phone, occasionally talk politics, and they are describing Hunter Biden as the president's informal advisor, even shaping the president's speeches. I wouldn't be sure that he's not actually writing them. But while Hunter advises Joe Biden, they're both under investigation by House Republicans. So again, Sean Hannity last night talking to House Congressman Comer, who's over the Oversight Committee, and the response then led to more comedy action from Morning Joe.
Do you believe that this is now officially the Joe Biden bribery allegation, and do you believe that you will be able to prove that, Jim Comer?
I sure hope so. And I do believe that there's a lot of smoke, and where there's smoke, there's fire.
I sure hope so. I sure hope so.
House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer.
Can we, next time we do that, can we have the theme song to Green Acres behind? Because I really do think that Arnold the Pig from Green Acres, who, by the way, one of the great characters in 1960s television history.
I actually remember Green Acres.
We do a better job.
Watching it.
Do a better job. Runs. Than James Comer.
As I said, that's Morning Joe from MSNBC. I doubt many of my listeners have seen that, but I want you to hear it. Somebody's got to do the dirty work here. I go in there and I watch and I sit through all this CRTP, whatever you want to add, for you. And there's a reason, because we'll make sure we're giving you on this program all the sides. And yes, I have an opinion, but I want you to hear how the attack is going on the other side. And you can make your own opinion at that point as to if I'm overstepping the line or if they're overstepping. It's your opinion. You're entitled to have your opinion. But again, when you go back to the New York Times article I was referring to, when they're looking into the Hunter and Joe Biden thing, the New York Times is concluding that basically Hunter and Joe, we again mentioned before, their father and son, and they're remaining very close to them in the midst of all this. And if you have any doubt as to what's going to happen, Hakeem Jeffries, New York congressman.
President Joe Biden is a good man. He's an honest man. He's a patriotic man. House Democrats will defend President Biden today. We will defend President Biden tomorrow. We will defend President Biden next week. We will defend President Biden next month. We will defend President Biden next year. We will defend President Biden until the very end.
From the shores to, I'm sorry, I moved into Winston Churchill. That's what he was sounding like, was he not? I'm going to offend him. He's an honorable man. He might have been at one time, but a lot of this stuff here raises some serious questions. Oh, but I know, I can hear Morning Joe. Oh, Larry's acting like the pig, Elmer, or whatever his name was in Green Acres. That's fine. I'm a spear catcher. Come at me. And of course, as the Democrats were doing with the Republicans, they were being accused by Republicans during the Trump stuff. You're ignoring the nation's business. Now Democrats are saying the Republicans are. And before this hour is over, I want you to hear from Louisiana Senator Kennedy reading some books. It is going to be very uncomfortable. And I think it's uncomfortable for him. That's before this hour is over. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot your eye down. Take you.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Extreme MAGA Republicans have launched an illegitimate impeachment inquiry that is a kangaroo court, fishing expedition, and conspiracy theater rolled into one. There is not a shred of evidence that President Joe Biden has engaged in wrongdoing. There is not a shred of evidence that President Joe Biden has committed an impeachable offense. There is not a shred of evidence that President Joe Biden has committed a crime. This is an illegitimate impeachment inquiry. Period. Full stop. It's a waste of time and taxpayer dollars.
Well, now, could we not say, in fact, I will say, the same thing that the Democrats were doing throughout the entire term and beyond of Donald Trump, wasting taxpayer dollars on an fake false charges. We know those were fake and false. They never had evidence of any type presented, never any witnesses. We have under the current inquiry in regarding the Biden crime family. I know they don't like that term. That's tough. But they have numerous shell companies documented by bank records. We've had IRS whistleblowers, FBI whistleblowers come forward and testify in front of Congress about various details of where they were blocked from pursuing an inquiry into Hunter Biden and then in the fact if it might lead to Joe Biden. I don't consider that a waste. Now, does that mean we want to spend all of our time on that and not focus on other needs for the American people? No. But I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Most of us can. But in this case, that's the fallback for the Democrats. Are they replaying what they said when the Republicans were accusing them? Or did they go back and say, what did they say about us? Can we? Yeah, we can use that same stuff. It's the same material. They said at the time, you're wasting taxpayer dollars. You're not focusing on the needs of the American people. You're on a witch hunt for Donald Trump. You're in a persecution of Donald Trump and all MAGA supporters and every conservative. And you're not doing anything to advance the country. And Adam Schiff, heading up his committee, was coming out saying, look, I can't tell you everything, but I can tell you we got a witness. Never was identified. And apparently never did testify. And we've got evidence. We never saw any evidence. And it is true at this point, we do not have or see, let me put it that way, we do not see evidence directly linking Joe Biden to all this money that was going into these shell companies. But you have to be really ignorant or naive to think that something doesn't smell. I would say the same thing if these kinds of allegations were made against Trump and company and family. I can do that. Can you on the other side? Can the leftists admit, yeah, we would definitely go after Trump on that, but if it came to Biden, no, no, no. See, now there's where you find if you're really trying to be truthful and factual, or you're just simply trying to carry the water for someone else. I'm not going to carry the water for Trump. I have not always been a Trump supporter on many things. I think he's been classless in many things. But a lot of the stuff they were going after him on was fabricated and made up. The Stormy Daniels thing, I could care less about. If you, big deal for you, that's fine. But the other stuff that was being done and lying to federal judges to get FISA warrants, and when Obama and then VP Biden and Attorney General and the FBI director at the time were told that is all a dirty tricks campaign from Hillary Clinton and the DNC, one of them, at least one of them, if they had any integrity, would have stood up and said, that stops right now. And we unveil that's what that is. Nope, they didn't do that. Is this akin to the guy that he knows he fumbled the ball? He knows he fumbled it, but they're doing replay after replay. And you're not going to come forward and concede it because the team needs that extra yardage. But he knows, yeah, I didn't. Or maybe he's convinced himself I didn't. But really, he knows he did not make a clean catch. Is that when the guy comes forward and, of course, angers all of his other teammates, but he's being truthful? Now, that's why I'm also going to give you balance here, as I did in the opening segment, if you missed it. Make sure you pull it up at LarryConnorsUSA.com so you can hear it again and share it. Share it with others. Even share it with your enemies because they're going to love some of it. They're going to hate some of the rest of it, but that's okay. But McCarthy moving forward and saying we're going to start an impeachment inquiry from the floor of the House, Congressman from Florida, Matt Gaetz, who cast the deciding vote on the 15th ballot. He gave him the 216th vote he needed to become Speaker of the House. Gaetz is coming unwound.
But here we are, 8 months later, and we haven't even sent the first subpoena to Hunter Biden. That's how you know that the rushed and, you know, somewhat rattled performance you just saw from the speaker isn't real. At this point, during Democrat control over the House of Representatives, they had already brought in Don Jr. three times. And we haven't even sent the first subpoena to Hunter Biden. Power of the subpoena and power of the purse. Only thing the 118th Congress is known for at this point is electing Kevin McCarthy speaker and underwriting Biden's debt. And unfortunately, there's only one of those things we can remediate at this time.
And that is kick McCarthy out of the speaker's position. You know, Nancy Pelosi is just rubbing her hands. Maybe that's why she decided to run again. One, she can raise a lot of money for them. And she's announced she will run for re-election. But as long as the Republicans have the House, she will not be the speaker. But I'm telling you, the fact that we had to go to 15 votes to get McCarthy, and he got the one vote from Gaetz at the last, you know who was second in line at that point on votes? Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat leader. Was the Republican Party controlling the House actually going to let a Democrat become the gavel? They came very close to it. But Jeffries, of course, is now above the fray because he can point out, we see you guys ignoring the needs of our nation.
We were sent to Washington, D.C. to improve the quality of life of everyday Americans. The extreme MAGA Republicans are determined to illegitimately investigate the president as part of an ideological crusade that week after week after week continues to do nothing more than try and jam their extreme right-wing ideology down the throats of the American people.
As if they were not doing the same thing and in the process persecuting Donald Trump and anyone around him. And they want you to believe that, well, this is more important than the needs of the American people at that time. That's really what they want you to think. And, of course, Republicans were saying the same things Jeffries was. It. You're ignoring why we came here. We came here to do things for the American people. And the American people out there, depending on their side and their view, yeah, what are you doing for me? Well, actually, Trump was doing things for the American people at that time. Gas prices were lower than they are now, and they're going to go up again, my friend. And we're not energy dependent at that time on other countries. We were energy independent. COVID changed a lot of that, and for a while we had a good reason to be cautious about it, but then it became a control. Squeeze and squeeze and control more. And then the information began to come out from that Hunter Biden laptop, which was suppressed in advance of the election between Biden and Trump. Shut it down. Don't let anybody know about it. The FBI denying it existed. They had it in their hands for a year. They knew it existed. And 18 months after the election, New York Times had to admit, yeah, that laptop was real. But again, Matt Gaetz, among the House Freedom Caucus, has some real issues with McCarthy.
We have had no vote on term limits or on balanced budgets as the agreement demanded and required. There's been no full release of the January 6 tapes. As you promised, there has been insufficient accountability for the Biden crime family. And instead of cutting spending to raise the debt limit, you relied on budgetary gimmicks and rescissions so that you ultimately ended up serving as the valet to underwrite Biden's debt and advance his spending agenda.
A valet for Biden? That's pretty harsh. And there are other Republicans that are siding with that. We're going to get into it in more detail in the next hour about the House Freedom Caucus and some of the things that they're throwing up against the wall right now regarding the Biden investigation and how everyone wants to walk away from it, yet we're still doing the business. But let's conclude with Gaetz basically saying that, in his view, everything considered, McCarthy's a joke.
We demand real oversight against this weaponized government. Just look at the bribery. If tens of millions of dollars flowing from foreign corrupt people into the bank accounts of the Biden family wasn't enough for actual impeachment, why were we even looking? Joe Biden deserves impeachment for converting the vice presidency into an ATM machine for virtually his entire family. We all see it. We all know it. Now, moments ago, Speaker McCarthy endorsed an impeachment inquiry. This is a baby step following weeks of pressure from House conservatives to do more. We must move faster.
Move faster. Well, coming up in the next segment, is Zelensky in Ukraine now threatening the U.S.? And then Senator Kennedy of Louisiana reading excerpts that are very hard for him to read of what's in school libraries. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So before we get into this last segment, and as I said, I'm giving you a heads up right now. There's going to be some remarks made by Louisiana Senator John Kennedy. Not his remarks, but he's reading excerpts of a couple of books in school libraries. And in particular, he had the Illinois Secretary of State in front of him to be questioned about why these books were in there. And you're going to want to hear the reaction, how John Kennedy goes after him. But I will tell you, he reads some explicit material. I'm not even going to put all of the explicit material out for you to hear. I'm not going to put all of it out. But there's going to be enough of it that's going to make a lot of you uncomfortable. I will certainly bet that it also made Senator Kennedy uncomfortable. But he thought, until you put this into the face of the American people and in the record in the halls of Congress, no one is going to be listening. That's coming up before we wrap up this hour. Also want to take time to tell you that Mitt Romney says he will not be seeking a second term in the Senate. He's been critical of Trump and Biden. He says most Republicans are drawn to a populist demagogue message, and he's not going to seek re-election, so that's probably going to end his career in politics. 2012, of course, he ran for the GOP presidential nominee, or he was the 2012 GOP presidential nominee, but now walking away. Maybe a cushy job. We'll get more details as things begin to unfold. I mentioned going to the break. We have sent $113 billion plus to Ukraine, planning on spending more. In the beginning, we were all, yeah, we don't want Russia to run over Ukraine. But then we lost track of what the money is going for, how it's being used, who has it. And there's a lot of accountability involved here. And yet the Biden administration is still trying to send more. And the Western nations, including not only the U.S., but those in Europe, they've been thinking about maybe we need to kind of cut some support back. Now, the Biden administration has not been that very clear about it. But some of the nations in Europe are really having some issues about how we can continue, especially if we're going to be getting refugees from those countries that are nearby. Zelensky had this remark for his European allies, and I'm saying it may well apply to the U.S. He said it would not be a good story for Europe if it's to drive Ukrainians into a corner. He said, I'm getting an intuition of a change of mood in Western leaders away from bottomless support. No kidding. He said, I see sometimes that maybe things aren't going to be with us like we thought. He portrayed things in black and white terms. If you're not with Ukraine, you're with Russia. And if you're not with Russia, you're with Ukraine. If our partners don't help us, it means they help Russia to win. That is it. I'm telling you, for some, that is saying that, is he threatening the Western world, including the U.S.? Because we want a bottomless pit forever and ever and ever? Well, we're going to have a come-to-Jesus meeting over that issue. Now, here's one of these stories. This is out of Illinois. Illinois, let me say it correctly. I kind of slurred it. Just when you thought you'd heard the last of this guy, what else could you be hearing? Here he comes again, making himself relevant, and maybe trying to lock up another TV starring job. You know who it is? You want to guess? Jussie Smollett. An Illinois appellate court heard yesterday as to why it should toss the former Empire Star's convictions for staging a racist, homophobic attack against him in 2019, and then he lied to Chicago police about it. Don't forget that part. Judges heard the arguments for less than an hour, contesting the 2021 convictions. The actor's legal counsel saying the anger over the case led to properly dismissed charges being improperly restored. Do you remember that? The mayor of Chicago apparently got a friend from Michelle Obama and Hollywood elites and saying, Smollett doesn't deserve this. He should not be charged with something illegal. You remember the basic story. He's in a Chicago hotel. He goes out in the middle of the night to go get a hamburger sandwich somewhere. He gets accosted by two men who claim this is MAGA country, and one of them puts a rope around his neck like a noose, and he calls police when he gets back to his hotel room. He still has his sandwich, and he still has the noose around his neck. It was something like a curtain blind cord. Wouldn't you take that off the first thing? Well, that was what everybody was asking. But they had a full-out search for who was doing this. It's a racist crime and everything else. Well, eventually, it came down to the fact that he lied. He was convicted on 5 counts of disorderly conduct, sentenced to 150 days in jail, 30 months felony probation, and restitution. In fact, it's believed his courtroom statements caused the judge to give Smollett a harsh sentence, because Smollett always maintained, I'm innocent of all this. So now, if the appeal before the Chicago-based district court fails, as it was presented yesterday, Smollett will have to finish a 150-day stint in jail that he was getting sentenced to in 2022. Up to now, he spent just 6 days in jail before he got released pending his appeals. But he's still there, still telling the same story, hoping somebody believe it, and maybe somebody will pick up and make a movie about me, and then I can be the star of my own movie. Or at least they'll see me and remember, he was pretty good. Maybe we can bring him back. It was never really clear that, the series was going to continue with him or not. And some were even saying he was going to be let go. So maybe that was part of it. But right now, you can always go along with the thought there is no such thing as bad publicity, as long as the name is spelled right. And maybe that's what he's doing. All right, I'm going to turn the corner and I'm going to give you again a warning, especially if you have children listening to our program. I think many times they should, so they get an understanding of what's happening in the world. But with my children, even when I was a TV news anchor, I want to make sure my wife made sure of what they were watching and not watching. And if we had tours at the TV station, a Boy Scout group or Girl Scout group, I said, we cannot have them on the floor in the studio during the first segment, because unfortunately, usually the first segment involved a lot of crime and rape and things of that nature. And we could have them outside watching through glass, but they couldn't really hear anything other than watching the director. But of course, the issue for a lot of parents is who's controlling our kids? Teachers, unions think they should be able to control them? No. The government thinks they should control them? No. The parents do. But in the midst of this, we've allowed more and more of these books to surface. I'm not about book banning and book burning. I say age appropriate, and that's the key point. That's what DeSantis was doing, and that's what Senator John Kennedy is going to do in a moment when we move forward. He's going to read an excerpt from a couple of books that are in a library, and testifying before him as he is doing this, he's got one, the Illinois Secretary of State, Alexei Giannoulidis, I hope I pronounced it right, and then also Cameron Samuels, a student from the LGBT community. That's coming up when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Let's take two books that have been much discussed. The first one is called All Boys Aren't Blue. And I will quote from it. I put some lube on and got him on his knees, and I began to slide into him from behind. I pulled out of him and kissed him while he masturbated. He asked me to turn over while he slipped a condom on himself. The second is another much discussed book. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's called Genderqueer. Okay. Let me read an excerpt from that. Quote, I got a new strap-on harness today. I can't wait to put it on you. It will fit my favorite dildo perfectly. You're going to look so hot.
Those are edited remarks of some of the books the senator read. And they were candid, were they not? There's some things we kept out. But you certainly get the impression of the books that were available to students. This hearing that was held yesterday was discussing book bans and what would possibly limit freedom in literature. And everybody was up there saying, you know, we cannot ban books. We cannot ban. Well, no one is saying ban books. We're saying, basically, what are you trying to do here? And are you not paying attention to age at all? When Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy starts reading from All Boys Aren't Blue, I got to tell you, it's if you're sitting in there, it's going to be difficult to be in his presence as he does it. And I have no doubt it was extremely difficult for him to do as well, but he read the sections of that one and then the other one. The other book, Genderqueer. Both have been appearing in libraries. The question then comes up, though, as to should they be there or what kind of guys and so forth is being with them. I mean, and by that, I mean, what kind of controls are being involved. And here's where we come down to getting an understanding. Because after he read those and saying that those are in some libraries right now, he's directing a question to the Illinois Secretary of State and trying to get some understanding.
What are you asking us to do? Are you suggesting that only librarians should decide whether the two books that I just referenced should be available to kids? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay. Tell me what you're saying.
Well, first of all, there's this.
Don't give me a speech. Tell me what you're asking me to do.
With all due respect, Senator, the words you spoke are disturbing, especially coming out of your mouth. It's very disturbing. But I would also tell you that we're not advocating for kids to read porn, to Senator Booker's
point.
What
are you advocating for?
We are advocating for parents, random parents, not to have the ability under the guise of keeping kids safe to try and challenge the world view of every single manner on these issues.
You're getting conceptual again.
I'm not getting conceptual.
Well,
I'm saying
yes,
that
you are. Yes, you are. Because I want to know what you're recommending. It sounds to me like what some of you are saying the librarians should decide Who gets to see that book?
I'm saying when you're making, when individual parents are allowed to make a decision of what, where that line is, and To Kill a Mockingbird, which involves a rape scene, should that book be pulled from our libraries? I think it becomes a slippery slope.
I think you ought to think about it a little bit more before you come here.
I've thought about,
if
Senator,
you're going to propose something, you ought to be able, in 30 seconds, to be able to explain what, Senator, you're asking us to do.
Yeah. And when he brings up To Kill a Mockingbird, it's been pulled in many cases, not because of the rape scene, but because black members of schools don't want it read. Like Tom Sawyer, they don't want read in schools. But Cameron Samuels is a student from the LGBT community who was also there as a witness, and Senator Kennedy questioned him.
I'm asking you, how do we decide whether the two books that I just referenced should be available in the library? What would you, if you were running things, what would you do?
All Boys Aren't Blue, the scene you mentioned, is about sexual abuse.
I know what it's about.
It's not
what
erotic.
Would you do in terms of making the books available? Would you say anybody can see them, or they have to be in a special session?
Students who do not read books like All Boys Aren't Blue cannot learn what is appropriate.
I understand that.
They cannot learn.
I understand, but none
about
of you
abuse.
Want to answer my question. You come here and you say censorship is bad, and of course it's bad. But the obvious response is, okay, you heard the books we're talking about. Okay, we're not talking about Catcher in the Rye. So tell me what you want, who gets to decide. And all I've heard is the librarians. And parents have nothing to do with it. And if that's your response, what planet did you just parachute in from?
Parents, Senator.
Or what country, more appropriately? This is not China.
It is not China. Coming up, we're going to focus more on the battle inside Congress right now and the push for an impeachment inquiry. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.